Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Anthony Leal is the name of the day to start our Friday program. What a finish for him. Last night, he has had some really big moments this season, and the best moments with Anthony Leal are after the game when you get a chance to hear from him and to talk with him, and he just was outstanding in that final run, especially helping Indiana to a big victory. I was on the edge of my seat last night because I basically guaranteed an Indiana win yesterday on the show, and it was looking really, really shaky down the stretch. But thanks to Leal, Indiana able to hang on and find a way to win 61-59 last night over Penn State and move on to take on a quarterfinal round matchup tonight against Nebraska, which Nebraska has been pesky as well for the Hoosiers this season. But I just think this Indiana team is going to find a way. I don't think they're going to win the tournament. I wouldn't bet that, but I think they got a chance to win another game or two in Minneapolis. I know it's tough with Trey Galloway out. He definitely, especially over this last run of victories, has added something big to this team, and he's a double-figure scorer, just above 10 points a game, but we'll see what Indiana can do. A lot of people think they need to make the championship game to have a chance at the NCAA tournament. I think if you look at the numbers, it's fairly clear they got to win if you look at metrics to get into the tournament, but we shall see how it goes. But Anthony Leal, former Mr. Basketball, saw somebody say somewhere on social media, why be surprised about Leal? They don't hand out Mr. Basketballs in Indiana for nothing, and that is a great point. He wasn't one of the more flamboyant Mr. Basketballs or one of the Mr. Basketballs that won the award with a likely professional basketball career ahead of him at some point, but he was a solid player at a great program under J.R. Holmes at Bloomington South, and so to see him get to play this role that he has for Indiana this season and get some breakthrough into the lineup, and when he's gotten in, he has made the most of his moments. Sometime they've been just that, moments. Sometime they've been some minutes. Sometime it's been more than that, depending on his play and the health of the team. But he definitely has capitalized on his availability at time, what he's gotten at Indiana. There's no question about that. So fun to see last night. Glad you're with us today. Basketball overload this week and this weekend. Newcastle coming up here tomorrow. We'll be there for the Jeffersonville semi-state. We hope it's two games, but we'll definitely have the noon game on the Big X. And the plan is, if everything works out okay, we'll have Jeff with pregame at 11:40 tomorrow and the tip-off at noon if everything is on time at Newcastle. And then on Saturday afternoon at 2:30, we'll have Indiana in the semifinals of that tournament if Indiana's victorious tonight in their game against Nebraska. So hopefully we have it at Newcastle and Jeff can get a win, and then we can send it to Don Fisher and the IU Network because Indiana's still playing in a Big Ten Conference Tournament semifinal that would follow up our broadcast from Newcastle. That's the plan. I'm under the weather, voice struggling, trying to get back ready to go so I can bring you the play-by-play from Newcastle of the Red Devils tomorrow, so bear with me. I know I sound a little rough today, but I did not want to miss this Friday show given all the basketball to talk about and coming off the big Indiana win. Obviously, a lot of excitement. Can you believe it? 5 wins in a row for this Indiana team. 5 wins in a row for this Indiana team. That is remarkable. I'm not sure that I ever thought this team would put together 5 Big Ten Conference wins in a row at any point this year, let alone in the final stretch of the regular season and now overlapping into the Big Ten Conference Tournament. Let's look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment 1. Going to get some help from Justin Kalen here in just a moment. We'll recap last night's game. Justin, the producer of this show, and we'll go through some of the highlights from last night, talk more about Anthony Leal. Later today, we'll be joined by Dylan Wallace. He's the former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. Great friend of the show. We talk a lot of IU hoops. He keeps up with everything in college sports. We'll discuss the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, that is. We'll talk about some of the coaching carousel things that are started as well. But mainly, we'll focus on Indiana and their win last night and what's ahead with the rematch against Nebraska coming up later this evening. And then later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star will check in with Kyle. We'll talk semi-state basketball. We'll survey what he thinks about Newcastle. Do the Devils have a chance? Lawrence North, I think, is probably on paper the favorite for that semi-state. But we'll talk all that and more with Kyle Neddenrip when he's with us a little bit later in the show today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great sandwiches and salads and soups that are all made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Can you believe it? Five in a row. Do you agree with me that Indiana, I think, can find a way to muscle through, to gut it out tonight again against this Nebraska team? I really think that they're going to win. I really think that they have a chance to get to the championship game. I get a little bit more queasy about that. I mean, Nebraska's going to be tough, just like Penn State was. There's no easy game for this Indiana team. But I would get a lot more questionable about my feeling when it comes maybe to Illinois in the semifinal round. And they've got to take care of Ohio State, who's red hot right now. It's amazing what Ohio State is getting done under Coach Diebler, acting in an interim basis here, we think, for the Buckeyes. Could he make himself, has he made himself a candidate for that job? Possibly. But what do you think? Love to hear from you. Questions, comments, sound off, good, bad, ugly, thoughts on high school basketball tomorrow in the semi-state, whatever you got. 502-414-1450 is the number. All fountain drinks and Fizz Freeze drinks are just 89 cents at all area Thornton's locations. Enjoy your favorite fountain drink at any size or a cold, delicious Fizz Freeze for just 89 cents. There you go. We'd love to hear from you on the Thornton's text line. 502-414-1450 is the number. Justin Kalen, please join me here. It's a struggle to get through this segment by myself, but lots to talk about with Indiana really gutting out a victory last night. I'd just like to hear you talk about Anthony Leal, his shot, his energy at the end of the game, coming in another big moment to help this team, and then getting the opportunity to hear from him after the game. He is just proud to be a Hoosier. I mean, he really has no ego in this deal. I think he clearly understands his placement in the team, where he falls in. But awesome to see a guy like him from our state, Mr. Basketball in our state, get to shine in the postseason, and he sure did last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we got to see him shine in the regular season a little bit for the first time in his career. He was getting meaningful minutes in an Indiana uniform, but for it to be in postseason play just hits on a whole different level. And especially with Trey Galloway being out last night, Anthony Leal was going to be a guy that needed to be huge and have a good game for Indiana, and he did just that. I mean, played 23 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, had a steal as well, so he played very well, and of course the game-winning shot. But yeah, you're right, Matt. I mean, as cool as the game-winning shot was, it's his post-game comments every time that they get him on the mic. It's just what he says is so fun. He is so proud to be a Hoosier, and I thought his line about heroes, when they asked him about what it was like to be a hero, and he just spun it into, I'm not a hero, there's real heroes out there. I just play basketball for the university I love. That's the type of stuff that really makes you like that kid. And very, very glad that we're going to get another year of Anthony Leal. Anxious to see what he's going to be able to do in year five. But I am enjoying what I'm seeing out of him thus far here this season, for sure.
So a game winner last night, mm-hmm, over Penn State in the Big Ten tournament. And I believe he had, a three-pointer that was very late in the game against Ohio State that you could classify as a game winner as well. That was a road game for Indiana. So we're going to score Lille with two game winners coming off the bench this season for the Hoosiers. That's impressive.
That doesn't surprise me, though, Matt. I mean, well, we talked about it a few weeks ago when he had that big performance. I don't know, maybe it was the Ohio State game. I can't remember at this point. But, I mean, I saw him personally with my own two eyes. I was on the call for two buzzer beaters that he had at the high school level. And I told you back then when we first brought him up that I was just surprised he doesn't play more for Indiana. So it's been awesome to see him get the opportunity, and it's been even more awesome to see him picking up where he left off at the high school level, because he is a really, really good player and can be very good for this Indiana team. And I think we've seen that the last several weeks. So really, really happy for Anthony Lille. Really happy for the team that they were able to pull it off last night. I was like you. It did get a little sketchy at times. It was definitely a little hairy towards the end. I didn't know if they were going to be able to pull it off or not, but hats off to them. They were able to get it done. They stuck their nose in the dirt and just went to work, and that's what it took last night. And it's going to take a similar type of effort tonight. Nebraska's a little bit more stiff of a test, but it sets up similar, right? I mean, Penn State beat Indiana twice in the regular season. It's hard to beat the same team three times. Indiana gets it done last night. Nebraska, two wins in the regular season. Hard to beat a same team three times. So I like how it sets up tonight for Indiana, but it's definitely going to be more tough of a game, and they've got to be better, more crisp. They had 12 turnovers last night, which isn't all that crazy of a number, but you've got to take better care of the basketball. You've got to stay out of foul trouble. Renew and Mbako specifically, they have to be on the floor. And hopefully they realize that today, and Coach Woodson's got through to them, like, you all have got to relax on the aggressiveness, because they need those guys out on the floor if they want to win this game here tonight.
Justin Kellelware, amazing last night. 18 points, top scorer. 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 6 from the free throw line, so he was good there. plan on him not being in Bloomington next year. I mean, I just can't see with all of his improvement that he doesn't give the NBA a go and that he's not going to be a pick at some point in the draft. I haven't looked at mock drafts right now to know if he has any chance at all being a first rounder or not, or definitely a second rounder. I would think there would be no question about that. He has made incredible improvement this year from freshman year at Oregon, and no question that he has become the force for the IU team this year. And I know Trey Galloway out hurts Indiana in couple different ways, but when you've got somebody like Ware and some supporting people to go around him, I don't think you can count this Indiana team out with the way they're playing in any game right now.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Yeah, Khalil Ware has been – my gosh, I mean, how fun has he been? You lose Trace Jackson Davis last year, and you worry about the big spot. Of course, you know you got Renew coming back, but you got this new guy coming in. Khalil Ware didn't play much at Oregon. You don't really have the highest expectations for him. And then he comes in, and you can make the argument that he's been Indiana's best player all season long. And it's how he does it on the floor, Matt. He had, I want to say, three dunks last night that just had no business being dunks. I just dropped my jaw to the floor. Like, how did he get up and dunk that basketball? I mean, it's been a lot of fun watching him this season. And not only just the scoring and the dunking and all that makes it fun, but the way he rebounds the basketball. I mean, he gets high up there, goes up with two hands, and rarely does he grab a rebound and lose possession of it. I mean, he's got them strong hands, holds on to the basketball. He has been a very valuable piece for this Indiana team all season. I'm so glad that we got Khalil Ware. I just wish we knew more from the onset what we were going to get from him. I didn't really have any expectations for Khalil Ware, so he has far and away outshined the expectations that I expected out of him.
Justin Kalen, producer, with me here on the program, talking about Indiana's big win last night. Anthony Lille was talking about Xavier Johnson. He said he's, quote, ultra competitive, and that he continues to add to our team's competitiveness because he hates losing more than anything. I think that's a really great feature of him. Again, that's Anthony Lille on Xavier Johnson. I think Xavier played 37 minutes last night, and I really do think he changes the presence of the Indiana team 9 out of 10 times. There are those Xavier moments where you're like, what are you doing, or why did you do that, or calm down, or whatever. But more times than not, he has been a really good presence for this team, I believe. And I think with this last little run he's had since coming back from this last injury, he's trying to make the most of it. I think it's very apparent.
Yeah, and he's been a great leader as of late. I mean, I wish last night the stats were a little better, especially for playing 37 minutes. I'd like to see more than 4 points. But he had 6 rebounds, 5 assists to go along with those 4 points, had a block as well. So he played well last night. I just want to see more from him offensive-wise. But, hey, that competitiveness that he has and his will to win – that rubs off on guys, and that's a valuable asset to have out on the floor. So, yeah, hopefully he's able to pick up the scoring a little bit. I think they're going to need more than 4 points from Xavier Johnson tonight if they want to take care of a tough Nebraska team. So we'll see what happens or not. I remember there was one shot in the second half, his second field goal of the game, actually. Indiana was down. I can't remember what the score was at the time, but Xavier Johnson brings the ball up the floor and takes like a 16-footer 5 to 10 seconds into the shot clock. And I'm sitting on my couch like, no, that is not the shot we want. And then he makes it. And that's kind of what you got to deal with Xavier Johnson, right? I mean, he gives you a lot of those no moments, but then you are cheering after because he does something positive with it. So, yeah, having him on the floor is a very valuable thing for Indiana. Let's hope he can pick up the scoring just a little bit tonight. He doesn't have to go crazy with the scoring, but I'd like to see him closer to that 8-10 point mark in terms of points on the board. So that's what Indiana's going to need tonight, in my opinion, if they want to take care of Nebraska. But he is a valuable piece to this team, no doubt.
All right, Justin, it's Nebraska tonight for this Indiana team. Nebraska, a lot like Penn State, they won both regular season games against the Hoosiers. One in Nebraska, one at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. It's another 9 o'clock game tonight. If Trey Galloway's still out, and Mike Woodson, I believe, very genuinely answered some questions after the game last night that he just doesn't know what the status is going to be today, tomorrow, for the rest of this tournament, as long as Indiana's alive for Galloway. What is your thoughts on an Indiana-Nebraska rematch for the third time? And I was very bullish on Indiana being able to knock off Penn State. I thought there was no way that the Nittany Lions could beat Indiana 3 times this season. And I think I like that feeling with Nebraska, although I hold Nebraska in a little bit different regard than what I hold Penn State.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, Nebraska, they finished 3rd in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I mean, they are a better team than Penn State, no doubt about it. But I'm with you. It is really hard to beat a team for 3 times in a season. And the fact that Indiana's already been swept in the regular season gives me hope for tonight, although – I'm not hopeful about the whole Trey Galloway situation. I don't know if he's out last night. I don't know how or what world we're living in that he could come in and play tonight. I just don't expect to see Trey Galloway for the entirety of the Big Ten tournament. Now, I don't have any insight on that, so I could be way wrong on that. If it's one of those situations they trot him out tonight, I'm going to be ecstatic if he comes out on the floor. But I just don't anticipate that happening. So without him, of course, I mean, it's tough. You're going to have to rely on Anthony Leal again. Indiana only went 8 deep last night, and if you take Peyton Sparks out, who only played 2 minutes, they only went 7 deep. And you've got Anthony Walker with 9 minutes. So, really, they only went 6 deep last night. So, depth may be a little bit of an issue with this Indiana team without Trey Galloway. So, that's concerning to me a little bit, especially with Nebraska not having a game yesterday. So, they're going to come in fresh. But you like to think in these conference tournaments, the teams that have been winning are just going to continue to roll. I mean, look at North Carolina State, for example. They had won their first 2 games. They beat Louisville the other night. They come back. They destroy Syracuse. And then they beat Duke last night. So they're rolling, they're getting comfortable in this win in the winning ways. So I'm hoping Indiana has a similar type of role coming for them. Like I said, I mean, I can't say it enough. It's going to be a tough game tonight. It's going to be a very stressful game tonight. It's going to be close throughout with my expectations, but I see no reason that Indiana can't get it done with solid play.
I tell you what, looking back at scores from the regular season, Nebraska won 86-70, mm-hmm. And then the second game, 85-70. So this wasn't necessarily nip-and-tuck battles that the Hoosiers were in against the Cornhuskers. Nebraska was able to come out on top and win by 15, 16 points in both of those games. I think it will be a big challenge for Indiana. I think it will take a remarkable effort from, let's see here, Ware, Mbako, Renew, probably more points from Xavier Johnson. Obviously, he had a good stat line, but only 4 points last night. So interesting to see, but will be fun.
The one guy that really is the X factor for me, Matt, is Gabe Cupps. I mean, he played 27 minutes last night, didn't have a single turnover, only scored 6 points, but he had 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and both of his shots falling came from beyond the arc. And that one late in the game was massive. So for a freshman to be able to knock down that shot was huge for Indiana last night. And he's another one of those guys. He doesn't have to score a whole lot of points, but if he can contribute in other areas, I really like Gabe Cupps for this team. There were a lot of times last night where he was on the floor with Xavier Johnson, and I really like them both out there. It gives you two ball handlers, take care of the basketball a little better, and just at that point, your goal with those two on the floor is just get it into one of the bigs. I don't care if it's Ware. I don't care if it's Renew. I don't care if you're hitting Mbako in the corner for a three. Any of those three options are great options for Indiana. It's just up to Gabe Cupps, Xavier Johnson to get them the ball in a good spot on the floor.
I agree, Justin. Good stuff. Thanks for helping. Appreciate
of course.
It.
No problem.
Want to cover a couple other quick notes before we get out of here for segment one break. Rondale Moore played at New Albany, won a state basketball championship at New Albany with Romeo. Went to Trinity to finish high school and had an outstanding high school football career. He's been traded. He's going from Arizona to the Atlanta Falcons, and really crazy trade. He was traded for Desmond Ridder, who is a former St. X guy. So the Falcons get Moore, the receiver, and the Cardinals get Ridder, the quarterback. So Moore coming a little bit closer to home from Arizona to Atlanta. I thought that was an interesting note. Obviously, Rondale Moore has been able to hold his own in the NFL. No surprise there after he had a great college career at Purdue playing for Jeff Brohm. But neat to see the local get an opportunity to continue playing professional football. And I think everybody knows we're headed to Newcastle on Saturday for the Big Jeff game against Lawrence North. Our pregame coverage here on the Big X will begin at 11:40 a.m., tip off at noon. But I do want to mention, you know, we have some other local teams or semi-local teams playing in the semi-state round tomorrow, and that's Scottsburg, one of those teams. They'll be at the 3A semi-state at Seymour. Scottsburg 22-5. They have had just an outstanding season this year. And they're going to take on an Evansville Bossy team that is 15-10 on the year. But I had a chance to see Bossy last Saturday before the Jeff game beat a solid Southridge team. And so I think that Scottsburg will have their hands full with Bossy. I think Bossy has a ton of talent. There's no question about that. But kind of different styles there. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. The other side of that Seymour 3A semi-state is Danville 22-3 and Guerin Catholic 21-7. Both of those teams really good, but I think Guerin Catholic is really, really good as well. And then, of course, Brownstown, they also play in the 2A semi-state. They will be at Southport coming up on Saturday in addition to Jeffersonville. So just some of the semi-local teams, Mid-Southern Conference teams that are still left in addition to Jeffersonville. And we wish all of them the best of luck. Some great coaches there, some really good players moving through those programs right now. I think Brownstown, I'd be shocked if they don't win a state championship. I would be a little surprised to see Scottsburg advance out of this weekend, but it's possible. And for Jeffersonville, they are not the favorite by any stretch of the imagination at Newcastle, but I would not count out this Jeffersonville team. There is no question about that. There's one thing I did want to share. I got a message last night from Steve Morris. He's the son of longtime coach Jim Morris at IU Southeast. And we've mentioned this before on the show, but Coach Morris was added or inducted into the Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame, and that actual ceremony will take place next Wednesday, March 20th, at the annual banquet that is held. And so just an outstanding honor for him. But Steve shared a story. He said the Hall of Fame building in Newcastle has new displays for this year's inductees, and their family is going to get a chance to visit those displays next Wednesday morning before the banquet later in the day on Wednesday. But Coach Morris, a 1953 graduate of Jeffersonville, and that year the Jeffersonville team he was on was ranked number one in the state for most of the season, but they lost in the semi-state to the eventual state champion, Terre Haute Gerstmeyer, now defunct, but that was the team that knocked out Jeff and went on to win the title that year. Coach Jim Morris's coach at Jeffersonville was Bill Johnson, of course, who William S. Johnson Arena is named after, and Coach Johnson played on a Jeff team, kind of taking this, stair-stepping this back in history. Coach Johnson played on a Jeff team that lost in the state championship game sometime back in the 1930s, and according to an old story, an old legend here in the area, the Jeff coach, Bill Johnson, as a player was, quote, drugged by gamblers after the morning game and wasn't quite with it during the final. At least that's the story that Steve had always heard from his father, Jim, who I'm sure got it from Coach Johnson back in the day. So crazy to think about, but obviously Indiana high school basketball, the lore, the stories, the importance, not just today, but going back and back and back for many, many years. So neat to see that. We congratulate Coach Jim Morris on the induction to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. I told Coach, I told Steve Morris last night when he sent that note over, I have great memories of Coach Morris at IUS. His basketball camps there were top-notch when I was a youngster. It was always one of the highlights of the summer to be in his presence and to get to learn from him and try to work on your game in the offseason. But obviously had some connection with him over the years, even in recent years, seeing him out at ball games. But an outstanding basketball gentleman for Southern Indiana. And I told Steve this last night, Jim Morris, a true Southern Indiana legend. There is no question about that at all. All that he did at IU Southeast and beyond, just remarkable, just a basketball guy for years here in the area. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Dylan Wallace. We'll dig in more to IU's game last night. We'll preview IU Nebraska a bit more. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star still ahead on semi-state basketball. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Mitch Craig, Heating and Cooling.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday show. Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 is the number. Love to get your questions, comments, sound off on last night, whatever you got to say. The Thornton's text line always open during the show, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. You can sign up for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards and receive 25 cents off per gallon of gas, plus great weekly fuel offers you can't pass up. Download the app at the App Store or on Google Play today. That's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. Dylan Wallace with us now. Dylan, Indiana a win with their backs up against the wall. They continue to be hot. They move to take on a Nebraska team tonight that beat them twice during the regular season. The question is, can this team continue to find success one way or another without Trey Galloway?
I sure hope so. It's been really impressive what they've done these last five games, winning all of them. You know, a couple of them were pretty decisive victories. A lot of them were really close. They showed that stat yesterday at the end of the game. Indiana's like 9-2 and probably 10-2 now with games decided in between like 6 points or less. You know, we obviously saw too many of those in the non-conference slate, but they've won some of the Big Ten ones lately. And it's been good to see them be able to really, you know, get the job done at the end of games here, and you go into a game against Nebraska where you've won five in a row. You just played last night. You know, you're probably feeling pretty good. You know, can you surprise them? Both games against Nebraska this season just were not close at all. Nebraska really had their way in Lincoln and in Bloomington. So, you know, it's going to be tough without Trey Galloway. I think this is a game where you could really use somebody like him. You know, I thought last night against Penn State, you know, it was going to be tough without him, sure, but I thought Indiana could still have enough to be able to beat that Penn State team. Nebraska, a little bit differently with how they run their offense and just how many motion there is, and to keep up with it, you know, you just got to have these guards, you know, not let Tominaga get free. He's had his way the last two times Indiana's played them. So it's going to be really an uphill climb without Trey Galloway. But, you know, if you're hot like Indiana's right now and you kind of played yesterday, you're kind of in, you've gotten used to playing on that floor, you're kind of in a groove, you know, that could sometimes play to an advantage to you as well. You know, obviously Nebraska's more rested, but I do think getting that game under your belt winning could have Indiana with some positive momentum into tonight's game. So just got to keep it close. You know, don't let it be too high scoring. Last night was a pretty ugly, low-scoring game. If Indiana can do that again in Nebraska, they should have a chance to win it. It's going to be tough, though, but, hey, I guess anything can happen. They've won five in a row. Why not make it six?
talking with Dylan Wallace, former sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. He's with us Fridays. We talk IU hoops and a lot more here on the show. Let's talk about Kellel Ware. Justin and I went through his performance last night in the first segment, beginning to think he is a definite NBA guy. I think he's going to get a chance next season based on his progress and play this year.
He's been awesome to watch. You know, I think Penn State was 1 of 14 on layups, and Wahab was like 0 of 8 from the field. And, you know, a couple of those were just tough misses, but a lot of it had to do with Kellel Ware. And even if he's not blocking shots, just him being there and putting thoughts into the guys' heads like, should I shoot this? Should I go up with it? That ounce of hesitancy can make a guy kind of miscalculate, you know, how the ball's coming off his hand. So, you know, he just affected so much around the rim last night. And he's just gotten a lot better at kind of going up and over people when he's on offense as opposed to trying to go through guys. You know, he's still with that kind of slim frame, but I think he's gone kind of up and over with his size, and it's kind of helped him be more efficient. He's getting a lot more points, and he's been rebounding the ball really well too. Earlier in the year, it felt like he would try to grab with one hand and bounce off of him, and now he's snatching him down. So he's a walking double-double right now. He's shown ability to stretch out and shoot threes, which is what you need to see in the NBA. I think a lot of teams are going to watch his film from this year, NBA teams, and just really be intrigued by the prospect. He's still pretty young. You know, he's only a sophomore. Just a guy that's tall and big, who can kind of protect the rim, step out and shoot threes, and be a lob threat rolling to the rim. That's what NBA guys love to see. You saw it with, like, a Chet Holmgren-type player who does similar things. You know, Victor Wembanyama, obviously a little bit taller and more kind of skilled, but, you know, same kind of build and body like that as a player like Kellel Ware is. So a lot of NBA teams, I think, are going to be intrigued by him. I think he's trending up to be a lottery pick. So, you know, that says wonders about what Mike Woodson is doing right now to get, you know, these last few guys he's had in his system, you know, into the NBA, and you know, one of them being a lottery pick, and the bigs as well. You know, to get bigs into the NBA is a good thing. So it's been really good to see him grow throughout the season, and he's just been awesome to watch, and hopefully we get to watch him a few more games here.
Absolutely. Talking to Dylan Wallace with us here on Indiana's victory last night. Big Ten tournament, you know, it would be humongous for Indiana to win their first championship. You wonder at some point, is that ever going to happen? The Hoosiers have just not had a lot of success in the tournament. But, you know, after the game last night, looking at Mike Woodson's success in the Big Ten tournament through his first 3 years, especially if he could win another game or two this year, he's been highly successful for the length of time he's been in Bloomington compared to some of the other coaches when it comes to this Big Ten postseason event.
He's been really successful. You know, I've heard a lot of, like, people going like, well, he's going to have to win the Big Ten tournament. We have bad history in that. But, you know, Mike Woodson's actually been to the semis in both of his first years. You know, obviously the first year Indiana had to win, you know, two games to get into that Saturday game and would have made it to championship if not Bohannon hit that crazy half-court buzzer beater. And then last year, you know, they didn't play till the Friday. They beat Maryland, and they were in the semis and lost to Penn State. Probably should have won that game. So, like, the last 2 years, Indiana's really been knocking on the door of getting to the Big Ten championship game. So, you know, if you beat Nebraska tonight, I think that's when you can start to tell yourself, okay, let's see what happens. You know, depending on what happens with the Illinois game, you know, if they lose to Ohio State, you know, and Indiana played, you know, they beat Ohio State twice this year. They played Illinois really tight in Champaign. So I think Nebraska, you know, if they can get this under their belt, it could be a really good momentum, and they could potentially, you know, find their way and play on Saturday and Sunday, which would be really exciting. So, yeah, Woodson's had a good track record so far in the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, the team still never won it, but, you know, they obviously need to win it this year if they want to hear their names called on Sunday. But it's going to be an uphill climb, especially with no Trey Galloway. If he was healthy, you know, I would think maybe this team has a chance to really kind of sneak up and pull off a crazy upset. But without him, I think as the games rack up and the opponent gets harder, it might get a little too tough to climb. But we'll see. You know, hopefully the Indiana can keep playing this way and keep playing hard and just play tough. And that's all you really ask for, is that when you watch them, you know they're giving it their all. And so far through these last five games, they've really turned it around. And got to give credit to everybody involved with the program for that.
Text on the Thornton's text line says, any news on getting recruits for next year after losing McNeely, or is it going to be pretty much all from the portal? I know it's huge to get Gallo and Leal back. Just curious as to where we are going to go. With recruiting nowadays, Dylan, and late changes and coaching changes, and that carousel is spinning very quickly right now across the world of college basketball, I think a good portion of it will come from the portal. Obviously, that depends on how many exit the program here when the season does come to a close. But I would be surprised if there aren't at least one late recruiting addition to at least give IU some sort of 2024 class representation. What's your take on that, given the timing here as we get into the middle part of March?
Yeah, I think you're basically spot on with that. I think we'll mostly see portal acquisitions. You know, you've already seen Indiana's name linked to a couple guys already that are going to be in it. But you know, there's always a chance. I think if anything, it'll be sort of like what's happened the last few years with like a Mackenzie Mbaku decommits and then that recruitment opens back up and Indiana lands them. You know, same thing happened with Malik Renew. Same thing happened with Tamar Bates. So, you know, later in the process, if there's a coaching change at the school that this player is going to go to or whatever reason he wants to, or a guy staying who's in his position that he wants to leave, you know. So if anything, it could be something like that where a high school guy coming in decommits from a school and, yeah, jumps in and snags them like they've done the last few years. You know, so I would imagine there, if there's anything, there might be one guy from the 2024 class that Indiana could potentially bring in, but I think it's going to be pretty heavily portal this offseason, and I think that just makes the most sense considering where we are in the timeline right now.
Yeah, no question. Dylan Wallace, my guest. Any other surprises or thoughts on the Big Ten tournament so far? We've had a lot of basketball these last few days.
I thought the way, you know, Ohio State, I think, we talked about it. They've been playing pretty well, but, you know, it just seems like they've got a really, really good thing going, and I would not be surprised if they, you know, play Illinois pretty tight today. Everything else, I think, is pretty much gone as expected. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens today. You know, Michigan State's playing Purdue. That could be a big game. You know, Wisconsin, Northwestern. Wisconsin just dismantled Maryland yesterday, so maybe they're starting to turn the corner. I think if Ohio State keeps it going, that's going to be a little bit more surprising. And obviously, if Michigan State can knock out the number one seed in Purdue, that could be a big deal as well. So those are the kind of the two key matchups, I guess, for today that you could potentially see some upsets in.
No question about it. Dylan Wallace with his Fridays on the show. Dylan, enjoy Big Ten quarterfinals today, which are tipping off now. And we'll talk again next week and see where this Indiana team is or isn't related to postseason basketball, the NCAA tournament, the NIT tournament, and all the other things that will be going on at that time with the transfer portal. Thank you, Dylan. We'll talk.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, we'll head to a break. We're back with our final segment of the week. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star will join. Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450. Don't forget, we'll be in Newcastle on Saturday, 11:40 pregame, 12 o'clock noon tip-off. We'll have Indiana, I'm all out of whack here, we'll have Jeffersonville and Lawrence North, a 4A South semi-state game. Of course, the first game there tomorrow is Center Grove and Ben Davis. But we'll have the Jeff game on the Big X. If you can't go or you're going to be out and about somewhere else, make sure you lock in with us for the play-by-play story. We're back after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. Final segment here on this Friday show. Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us. We've talked a lot of IU and Big Ten tournament here the first three segments of the show. Now it's time to dig into high school hoops and the semi-state at Newcastle, which is where I am so excited to be on Saturday morning. Kyle, I'm just blessed to be able to do the games on the radio. Seymour Sectional, Southridge Huntingburg Memorial Gym for the regional, and now Newcastle's Chrysler Arena for the semi-state. What a tour of gyms here that Jeff has been a part of and that we've been able to tag along as media members.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't get much better than that, and this will be my second week back at Newcastle. I was kind of a little bit surprised that that was the venue for 4A, but I think the size of the gym and obviously the the location of Newcastle is not going to be perfect for any, you know, just based on where they're at, geography-wise, not perfect for anybody. So looking at that, I think it makes a lot of sense and certainly will be a, you know, fantastic atmosphere and venue for four really good teams. I think it's going to be a, you know, a really balanced group. And, you know, I think you could probably make Lawrence North a bit of a favorite, but not by a lot, in my opinion. I think it's a fairly wide-open 14 field. I've seen all four of them, and I think any of the four could possibly come out of that semi-state.
Absolutely. I know you're familiar with some of the Central Indiana teams much more than I am, so let's start with Lawrence North, who the Devils will try to take down on Saturday at noon. Lawrence North, one big thing missing from the last time I saw that program play is Hall of Fame coach, legendary Jack Kiefer, who had done it for so many years, is now retired. They've got a new boss in his second year. What can you tell us about this Lawrence North team that Jeff is going to match up with tomorrow?
Yeah, very, very balanced. Xavier Robinson is their top player, who's a junior guard and has a lot of Division I, Power 5 offers. He's kind of the engine that makes him go. Really good defensive player, athletic, you know, just kind of both ends of the floor type of guy. We'll really look to drive more than shoot outside, but can shoot outside. And then, but the key to their team is really they've got a lot of good pieces to go around him. And Kobe Bowles, their point guard, very strong, left-handed, again, likes to attack, you know, more of a slasher than a shooter. But then they've also got a couple guys up front, Brennan Miller and Kai McGrew, who are both sophomores, who are, you know, 6'7", 6'8", in that range. And those two have really made, you know, their team different than it was last year, where they didn't really have an interior presence. Miller is kind of, he was more of a kind of an outside shooter last year as a freshman. He's become kind of their, you know, I mean this in a good way, but kind of their garbage guy who gets rebounds, you know, does anything he's asked, good leader. And then McGrew came in from Colorado, and he's definitely made a difference too. And then also, you know, you can't really sleep on their outside shooting. Some teams like to zone them, but, you know, Miles Good has come back from injury, and then Miles Baker, those two can really knock down three-point shots, probably better than Robinson and Bowles, really. So those guys you have to watch out for on the perimeter because they can burn you very quickly. So it's not a team with a lot of weaknesses, I would say. And honestly, I had them ranked number one in the state for a lot of the season until they kind of slipped up late. I think they are the, you know, if they put everything together, I think they're the best team in the state, even potentially better than Fishers, although Fishers beat them. I think they would match up. If they're playing their best, I think they can match up with anybody.
Talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. The other two teams, I know Jeff is fairly familiar with Center Grove. They were defeated by the Trojans in the regular season. And Ben Davis, a big school, always seemed to be in the mix when it comes to the basketball postseason. What do you see in that first game at Newcastle for Jeffersonville fans that might get there early and want to check out some of the big 4A programs from Central Indiana?
Well, that'll be a fun one. Zach Hahn, who coaches Center Grove, you know, he played at Butler. He also played at Newcastle, so he's very familiar. And I know I texted him after they got that assignment. I asked if he was in charge of the assignment because it's pretty nice to come home to play at Newcastle. But they're going to have their hands full. Ben Davis is the defending champ, and until someone beats them, they're still the champ. So they've been playing really well. I think it's sort of weird to say they're kind of a sleeper team because I think people maybe didn't expect them to, you know, get back to this point or have a chance to win state again. But, you know, they have a couple guys on that team and Mark Zachary and KJ Windham and Mark White, who all played on that, you know, played key roles on that state championship team last year. So, and honestly, Ben Davis beat Lawrence North in the season. Windham had 30 that game. And so they're capable of beating anybody as well, but Center Grove is too. What people will look for in Center Grove, I think what to look for with that team is their outside shooting is exceptional. They shoot, you know, Joey Schmidt shoots almost 60% from three, which is just unbelievable how he can knock down shots. Dylan Metter, another really good shooter. Pretty much all the guys can shoot threes. So that'll be an interesting matchup, how Ben Davis chooses to match up with them defensively. So I'm really looking forward to that game too. I think it's a toss-up game, I think, and you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised how that one went. Ben Davis a little more experience, obviously, in games like this, but you know, Center Grove is so senior laden. You know, there's so many seniors on that team, so this is kind of their time to shine. So yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward. I mean, we're by tomorrow at this time, we'll have at least one game. One game will be in the books, and then we'll be waiting for the other one. So it's going to be fun tomorrow.
Absolutely, I can't wait to get to the gym, get all the radio stuff connected, set up, and try to enjoy that first game before we come on the air. It should be an interesting game to watch, and just to be in Newcastle Chrysler Arena on a Saturday in March is always a good deal. So looking forward to that. Kyle, as we head out today real quick, is there a semi-state you think fans should keep an eye on as far as best matchup, best games across the state?
Yeah, I think that one, and then down at the Seymour, down for the 3A foursome down there, Danville, Guerin, Scottsburg, and Bossy, I think will be really good in Class 3A.
All right, Kyle Nedrup with us. Kyle, enjoy tomorrow. We'll catch up next Friday.
Okay, good deal. Thanks, Matt.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the show. The Hoosiers tonight, they take on Nebraska. The late game will have Don Fisher, the IU Network, and I'll be live from Newcastle, 11:40 a.m. with our pregame coverage coming up on Saturday. Tip-off in that contest set for noon. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.